Special guest
Michael Johnson.
This is the Power Motion Picnic Hour.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Power Motion Picnic Hour. As always, I'm your host Dave, and as always, alongside me is
Trevor.
Oh, Trevor, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing quite well. How about yourself, Dave?
I'm doing good. It's been like 2 weeks, and can't believe I remembered my opening lines and remembered to deliver them in the exact same the exact same way I do every episode.
It was a job well done. 2 weeks, also known as a week in running.
Yeah, exactly.
Around here.
Yeah, how do you measure a week in running?
Which would be
a song from the musical Rent if there was any running in that, but I don't think there's any at all.
Yeah, not that I can recall.
No, but the East Village has changed a lot since the 90s.
It sure has. Yeah.
And, if they do an updated modern revival of Rent, it'll certainly have a lot more runners.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Especially if they happen to saunter by the John V. Lindsay East River track.
That's right. I can't believe that didn't make an appearance at all in the original musical Rent, which I did see. I saw the touring production back in, I don't know, I want to say it was 1997.
Yeah. Little running. We know that much about, about Rent.
I remember that was my review at the time. Good musical. Could use a little more running. good songs, interesting characters, relevant themes. Could use more running.
there was a recent event, where somebody got married and had also recently finished a marathon, and I went up and congratulated the bride on going sub-5, but no congratulations given for anything else. Just the marathon.
Anybody and just about everybody can get married, but not everybody runs a sub-5 marathon.
Sub-5 was felt much more like personal too.
And it's not that a sub-5 marathon is something that is often celebrated in the sporting press. But when you take it in the context of most people will never run a sub-5 marathon.
No. And actually, there's a lot of mailbag. I'll just say that up front.
Good Lord. Yeah. This is like the end of Miracle on 54th Street over here.
There was a lot of chatter recently. A lot of responses to the race roundup from last week. So we got to get through that. Some fact checks thrown at us as usual. So,
good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say I did receive one piece of feedback on your marathon recap of your own reflections, which was, a lot of happiness and excitement about sort of the things that you really enjoyed about the day and just the experience. And the time is almost beside the point.
Yeah. My race report and my reporting in general on those kind of things are mostly emotion. There's not that much to worry about, time-wise, numbers, splits,
put the numbers out there for consideration, but they're not the thing, which I guess was what this listener enjoyed.
No, the most important thing is this email I got from Tracksmith, the running apparel company, that said if you set a PR before the end of April 2024, they'll give you like some huge coupon, like a $100 coupon or something.
Oh, nice! So you get that, you're eligible.
Yeah, I have to do it. I think I'm eligible if I can prove it, while I'm sure the LA Marathon race website is reliable and has all the information I need, I don't have as much confidence in the Providence Marathon. So, and I haven't looked it up yet, so we'll see.
Well, I mean, if they look up other marathons you've done, they probably won't find any except for Providence.
Yeah, no, but I mean, to do it, you have to show your PR, and then you have to show that it can't be your first race ever in that distance,
so you have to prove that you've done two.
Yeah, so you can't just run your first marathon ever and run it in 9.5 hours.
I bet it's out there. I think we can do some digging.
If not, I'm going to email the race administrators.
The race director.
Yeah. I'm going to drive to Providence. I'm going to run to Providence.
Let's see. Should we jump right into it?
Yeah, well, I think we should go into week in running.
Okay.
And which is, it's been a long week, and you and I even saw each other at the beginning of this 2 week long week. And yeah. We did not run together, unfortunately.
We did not, but it was still good. Saw a lot of listeners. It was a very fun occasion.
It's true. We saw popular runner Jim Pergolesi in person.
Yes. Along with a lot of popular runner fans.
That's true. We were down in New Orleans, and I know he did go out for, I think, multiple runs. Did you make it out for a run down there?
I did not. I did a walk around. That's about it.
We celebrate all forms of ambulation. It doesn't have to be Jim's casual 39-mile morning run, whatever he does.
He actually ran into the Crescent City half or whatever that was going on.
The Crescent City Classic.
The 10K race. 10K, yeah. So he accidentally ran into the race, and everybody that would see him would like try to point him like, no, you've got to go that way. And so he eventually ran in the opposite direction of the race, which was probably a smart move to avoid that.
I wonder if that confused people even more, or if it drove the point home. Like, he's just a solo runner out there. He's not part of any race. Well, then as far as our personal weeks in running, I've done a bunch of running since I've been back home, though. Including an 8 mile, very hilly treadmill run today, and
awesome.
And a similar 7 miler a couple days ago. And on Sunday, I ran a New York Roadrunners 4 mile race in Central Park Sunday morning.
And you were fast too, right?
Felt pretty good. Pretty good. I was in my head. I was like, maybe I should try to PR this because that'll be easier for me to document and prove that I PR'd, because New York Roadrunners website, it's so great, and it puts it all on one page too, and it like says it's your PR and stuff. But the problem is, last year I ran a 4 mile race in 31:59.
Yeah.
And I've just been like unable to get that. And I was trying. I thought maybe I would, and I don't remember my exact time anymore, but I ran like a 32 something, but not that close to closer to the other end of the 32 than to the 31:59. So I didn't do it.
Well, I wonder if Tracksmith, I mean, they're probably unlikely to do this, but if they went Sudbury Conservation Commission style, they could just listen to every episode of the Power Motion Picnic Hour, hear how often we've talked about marathons.
That's true. Should I just
hear the documentation? Submit episode, whatever that was, Providence.
I'll submit 35 episodes. Yeah, I probably I'll submit everything. But you can get the information you need from episode 2 and episode, whatever, 30 something. But I would recommend listening to all of them.
Yeah, they'll know it's a better time than both Providence and two or three other marathons you considered running, but DNS.
I mean, that's definitely not a PR. Richmond was not a PR.
No.
And whatever else. that one.
Billy.
Philly. I briefly considered Raleigh. That never happened.
Yeah. Yeah. You were going to do Raleigh end of last year, I feel like.
Yeah. Raleigh and Richmond, I think, were the same day. So I was going back and forth and settled on Richmond.
Yep.
There's a marathon like every day. If you want to run a competitive one, it's great.
Settled on Richmond as the race you would ultimately not run.
Exactly. I made a final decision that I was going to do Richmond and then didn't do it.
Well, it sounds like you had a good week in running anyway.
I had a great week in running. How was your week in running?
Yeah, it was okay. Kind of got back into a little bit more of a regular routine past few days. So I've been cranking out, 4 or 5 mile runs. I'd like to get out for longer, find time for like a bit of a longer one. That's something I've been missing. But other than that, feel pretty good about consistency.
Oh, good.
Versus being sick and just having a couple sort of rough weeks running. So I feel like I'm a little bit back on track.
It's good to just get out there. I'm still in my, I subscribe to the 1 month after a marathon, just run for whatever, for fun kind of thing.
Yeah. So
I'm still in that first month. Still 6 days shy of a month since the marathon. So I'm just kind of doing whatever, which is pretty fun, but that's also just a good idea in general. Just get out there, just run.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I feel like I've been doing that for a couple months now, probably need to start to build more structure. And especially because I'm realizing if we're going to do a big run in June still potentially up in the mountains, I am not in very good shape for that right now.
I'm probably all right for that, but I did forget about that. I forget about that every week until we get on pod and they get reminded, but I like the idea. And,
I still think
it's worth trying to do. And,
well, if it's not June, I mean, we can, well, I guess we decided June was the best timing, but anyway, more to come on that.
Yeah, exactly. More details, more promises, and hopefully no repeat of Richmond.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we made a lot of noise with our Barkley coverage. Barkley got covered in general, like, quite heavily, because I had non-runners sort of like talking to me about Jasmine Paris's amazing performance.
Her sub 60 hour.
Yeah. Wait,
yeah, that's what you have to do, right? Subs. I'm trying to remember, because it's been 2 weeks since we talked about it.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, a lot of coverage on Barkley in general, but did get a couple fact checks just to rattle off. So I think we had mentioned choosing like the page from the book with your bib number.
Yeah.
It's actually like, I think there's like pages at like books at different waypoints, like stashed like throughout the whole course. And you have to like kind of keep doing it each lap or something. So just to be clear that on that part. The other thing about, I guess, the Barkley is like most of it's just not even on a trail at all. So I guess they're like just running through like briar patches and ridiculous stuff.
Good Lord.
you have to reverse direction each lap, which is another like just confounding factor to just throw people off.
Yeah,
I guess the briars coverage, there was a comment, maybe could have covered the briars a bit more, but that's all sort of constructive, but there's also just a lot of positive, there's a lot of delight that we had picked up on Barkley, I think.
I'm glad we picked up on it. It seemed like a big deal in the running world, and I don't necessarily, you'll often come back with news, a race report of some kind of ultra run that I've never heard of, but this one I was tuned into before we even got into the pod, and had already, I think, watched the, you know, her finish, her collapse at the finish line, which is amazing.
Yeah. 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 No, it was cool. It was cool that it got so much sort of broad publicity. People seemed to be into it.
I don't remember if we discussed this, but some quote she said about the finish, and she didn't know whether she was going to make it or not. But of course, she made it in like 90 seconds shy of the required time. And she said something about how, you know, she saw the finish and was just like, I think she might have used the term like sprinting to the finish, and then got there, touched the finish line, and like collapsed, and then just like was gasping for air. And you can see that in the video. She's just like on the ground and she's so completely spent. But what I love about that is that like what she called like sprinting or whatever she said is like not that fast looking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel like lightning moment.
Yeah. And I know that feeling from the end of a long race where you're like, I'm going to sprint to the finish. And then you see a video of it and you're like, that's not sprinting.
It's not the feeling of going fast. It's the feeling of like spending like all of your energy.
Yeah.
Even if that doesn't amount to much speed.
And I wonder, I've seen it, like I saw a video of me doing that at the end of the Providence Marathon. And that one's funny because I did feel like I was really booking it, you know, like I felt like Michael Johnson out there or something. And then I saw the video and I looked like I was going for like a nice gingerly jog, you know, like trying just to be moving. But then I was thinking about that when I finished my 4 mile race this past Sunday. Same thing. Like if you have something in the tank, I always try to run pretty hard to the finish, you know, shave off a couple seconds, and especially trying to PR. But then I wondered, and it's 4 miles. So maybe at 4 miles, I still looked like I was running fast, but maybe I didn't.
Yeah. Even I feel like most times when I see myself running, I feel like I feel faster than I look.
It feels so fast.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, there's a video that I don't remember if we shared this or not on our Instagram, but when we did the community mile, there's a video of you and me in our head to head mile race. And I, you know, when I'm just 2 seconds behind you, and I remember the feeling of just like running so hard to try to catch you and pass you, but all I was basically doing was just for the last probably 100 meters was just keeping the same distance behind you. But I was running, because you were running equally hard, I guess. But I was running as hard as I could. And when I saw the video, it didn't look like somebody running that hard.
I remember seeing us, and it looks like we're kind of like just jogging along. It's like, no, we were spending it at that point.
Felt like Jasmine Paris, like at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
oh, and the last thing, I love this. At Barkley, when somebody like taps out, when somebody stops racing, they play, literally taps on like a horn. So like when somebody's out, you and like you can like sort of, you know, it's broadcast a bit, so like
that's
people
great.
out on the race like will suddenly like just hear the horn going. It's like, oh man, somebody so, else is out.
I don't know, does that encourage you to keep going, or does that make you want to quit? I wonder.
I don't know. I think I'd like to have a song played on a trumpet or whatever when I finish running at some point.
Yeah,
sure.
It's nice to know someone's paying attention, I suppose.
Yeah.
All this talk about you know, races and race directing makes me think, are we going to do the Community Mile again this year? Is that an annual event?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess we can put it out there. We can do another Community Mile. We could come up with another concept. Who knows what we're going to do?
Yeah, it's true. I like how unpredictable we are. No. And how unclear we're being. We could, I guess the question's out there now, and maybe we could leave it to the mailbag. Should we do another Community Mile? Should we do a different race? If so, does anyone have any suggestions?
Yeah. Distance, you know, location, style, whatever. Yeah.
Also, you know, method of judgment. Last year we did enjoyment, and whether you could beat a Tom Bosworth world record walking mile of,
yeah,
what was it, 5 minute 37 seconds?
Yep. Yep. Which nobody beat.
I know Tom has shifted his focus to running.
Yeah.
So I wonder what, maybe we could look up what his best mile time is and maybe even adjust to that.
Yeah. I think he's certainly run faster than his mile time. But I think he's now doing like longer distances too, like trying to run faster than like a walking 10K.
Oh,
that kind of stuff.
Interesting. Well, we could always have a community 10K, although I like how accessible our distance is. So
that is a really good thing about the mile. Yeah.
Could go even shorter, but
community, choose your own distance.
But I think if we remember back to last summer, I think to me, one of the appeals of the mile, and this is what got us talking about it, I think, is when you're a kid, they're always making you run the mile.
Yeah.
In gym class. And no one makes you run the mile anymore.
I'm fully in favor of the community mile again. I feel like it's really good. It's a good format. It's worth, we can't just do it just once. I think people want more.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
We could consider
community mile.
We could consider changing the physical location, but the event.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
throw in some different elements maybe for the Power Motion Picnic Hour presents the Krampus Classic. We did a voting system, popular vote, determined the winner of that particular race. That doesn't work quite as well with something like Community Mile, because the thing about that is everybody was physically in the same location. So you could do a quick sort of, people sort of like stood and sort of like made their case for who they thought should be the winner, and then sort of went around in the circle, and then there was a vote, and then Alpine won, just like that.
I like the drama. It's like the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
I wonder, with how self-referential this show has gotten, what would this episode sound like to a first-time listener who didn't start at our pilot and started with this one?
I don't know. Are you suggesting we should be less self-referential or
no,
provide more context? More
no.
Context? Yeah.
Neither. Okay. I was just pondering. I like the format.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess that brings us to another mailbag, and this is a particularly helpful mailbag for that new listener, because the listener writes and references episode 3.2.
Oh,
No Wrong Way, and says this response was requested apparently by me, Trevor, in episode 3.2 mailbag section. It is a link to what is described as a brand of regional stoner rock you can listen to while making sense of Trevor's advice about running mostly downhill.
Okay.
And he says, with more downhill, don't you always just end up at the bottom? I think this listener might be missing the fact that, like, yes, you also have to walk to the top of whatever you run down.
I'm not even sure I understand what we're talking about.
In a downhill scenario.
We're talking about, like, how you mean, like, how, like, something like the LA Marathon is a net downhill and the Boston Marathon is a net downhill. How about something like that?
We talked about marathon training and the idea of specifically sort of like, do you work on downhill? Because that could be an area of weakness in races.
Mm.
And so I guess it was in response to that.
I see.
This is some regional Stoner Rock from, and listener says, ? Brazil. Upon some investigation, they're actually from Argentina.
Well, I love
black sky giant.
All right. I love this mailbag entry. I barely understand it. It's great. I don't think I understand it at all, actually, but that's fine.
Well, I guess it's another introduction to the segment of deciphering listener Dan's mailbag over the next several weeks.
That's who I thought it was from. And I say that just because he has sent in a lot of mailbag entries. So I've become fluent, not in meaning, but in understanding the source, I guess.
Most of his mailbag, as well as most of our regional Stoner Rock related mailbag, it's all sourced from listener Dan primarily.
Like, yeah. In both
categories.
If I hear a mailbag question about Stoner Rock, particularly if it's about the regionalization of Stoner Rock, I'm pretty sure I know who it's coming from.
Yep.
It's funny. Well, when we were together, not running, like a week and a half ago, I think I did get a lot of in-person mailbag from when we were out there just touching the public and kissing babies and saying hi to listeners. I got a lot of in-person mailbag, and I think I've forgotten all of it because we were in New Orleans and we were drinking Heineken.
There was a lot of in-person mailbag. There was a lot of a lot of interesting connections between listeners and what you might call characters on the pod.
Yep.
Who turn out to be like real people, like popular runner Jim Pergolesi, who, by the way, we gave a report on Devil's Shadow last week, conditions report, and upon further investigation found that popular runner came in first place in the Fortissimo division.
Wow.
Fourth place overall.
That's pretty amazing. Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations, yeah. Popular runner and most frequent guest on this show, although it's a tie. So, yeah. So we applaud you for your efforts and contribution to the running community and the achievements of Fortissimo runners.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
That might be it for the race roundup. I mean, it was a doozy. I'll tell you that much.
Good Lord. I have an update, but it's not a mailbag. But I did have a run-in with a former special guest, popular roller derby skater and popular skeptic about running, running agnostic Susie Hot Rod.
Yeah.
And she has been running. That's an update for the audience. And because she was training for, what was that thing she was training for? She was training for some event where she has to run a kilometer and then do some kind of exercise and then run another kilometer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can't remember what it's called, but so she's been running. And so that's our first update. But then she needs help. And so I said I would reach out to our listening audience and see if anyone could help her. And she's having IT band issues.
Ooh, okay.
And so I think I'm sure she knows some of the basics. I know she's been doing some stretching. And I think she's been doing the thing with the, the roller thing. Mm-hmm. You roll on the thing sideways.
Yeah.
I think
a lot
of us runners are familiar with that.
Both good things. I think because I've had some IT band issues, I'd say slow it down probably would be my first piece of advice. Just go really slow. Yeah.
I think the thing that helped me now that I'm thinking about it the most was changing my footwear.
Ooh, that's a good call too.
Yeah.
Especially if she's running in sort of some older sneakers and maybe with a lot of miles. Yeah, we both went through that too. That's right.
Right. You might not know about that. So I'll mention slowing it down. I'll mention sneakers, and then I'll mention to her anything we get in our mailbag. Because as I told her, most of what I know about running and I learn from our listeners when they tell me to do things, and it's helped.
Yeah, no, they're very, very knowledgeable.
More knowledgeable than us. So
Yeah, by far, by
yeah.
far.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad we got that out there in the world, and I can't wait to see what we hear back once again. Call Dave Rawlings on his unlisted phone number and tell him the advice for Susie, and he'll get it to us, I'm sure.
We had one final mailbag. Can check that off.
Okay.
So this was a recommendation, I think. Or at least just an FYI.
Okay.
So you can apparently rollerblade the Berlin Marathon. If you do it in less than 2.5 mile hours, you get an automatic entry into the following year.
So that's
Yeah. So
pretty.
you have to do the course, I guess. I don't know what that entails, like going and doing the course when it's not, because you can't obviously can't do
No,
that during the race.
we
So,
probably shouldn't, right? Get in people's
but
way.
it seems kind of dangerous, I'd imagine.
So how do they, yeah, how do they track that? Do you do it on, you have to do it on like Strava or something?
GPS, yeah, GPS file,
You have to do it.
watch.
What's the time you have to complete it in?
2.5 hours.
2.5. That seems pretty fast.
It seems like one of those things that if it was too easy, they probably wouldn't have it set up like that.
But this is, yeah, this is a good idea. And I think it's a good assignment for us to give to female gear shed testing correspondent.
Yeah.
And she is also a roller derby skater. And
I think that'd be awesome.
yes, I mean, she hasn't reviewed any gear in a while. So why not, instead of reviewing gear, you could have a review of a non-traditional race qualification method.
Yeah, perfect. It seems dangerous to me. I mean, I don't know the Berlin course at all, but I imagine it goes through the city a bit, right?
Yeah,
And if it's not closed off for running, wouldn't that be a bit difficult?
I haven't been to Berlin in over 20 years. So my memory is a little hazy, but I gotta think it's not the smoothest ground like to be
Yeah.
skating on.
Well, maybe the skates will come in handy over the blades in that case.
Roller skates instead of roller blades. I have very little experience roller skating, but I find street skating and roller skates to be incredibly difficult. It's something I did a little bit early during the pandemic.
Prior to a roller skating related injury.
Before roller skating into a stop sign and thinking I broke my ribs. Oh man, that was fun those days. Also, those good old days. That was like 4 years ago, I guess. Probably ex 4 years ago today, actually. That's why we're recording and talking about it. Okay, well, we'll look into this and see how we can do and get her out there, and then, and yeah, I'll see it. We'll reach out to Bobo's maybe for some funding, see if they're interested. We haven't asked them for money in a long time.
That's right. Yeah, they're probably wondering where we went or did we forget?
They're probably worried about us.
The
Yeah,
answer's no.
we're still here.
We're still here. We are definitely still here.
I think we had a busy off pod last few months, but we're about to get busy on pod. I know we've got a lot of guests lined up starting next week, I think.
I think so. Yeah, we got a couple guests to look forward to. We got some big races. We won't have to milk the same race roundup for 2 weeks again. I think we can just talk about, Boston, which is
That's
next
right.
Monday. We're
Oh.
recording this on a Thursday. This upcoming Monday is Boston.
That's true. Yeah, I was just informed because I work remotely out of a company based in Boston, and I was just informed that we have the day off on Monday, and
Very nice.
I've completely forgot Patriots Day.
Yeah, I took the day off. I'm going to go bring the family down, unaffiliated member of the house who does not affiliated with the Power Motion Picnic Hour, the two young apprentices. We're going to go down, at
Oh.
least watch the wheelchair portion. They go off first.
Because you're pretty close to the start.
Kind of. Yeah, I guess I don't know how like what percentage in, but we'll probably go to Natick to watch.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I love watching that part on TV because like when you watch, like, you know, whatever, the first, really for a while, maybe everything before they get to Wellesley almost, it's just like they're just running through like a pretty, what do you like, sparsely populated neighborhood at, like, you know, right, 8 in the morning. So there's not that many people out there. They're just running or wheeling by a Dunkin' Donuts. And there's nobody outside that. And then there's like three people with a sign, you know? And then they go by some, just there's no one then. And it's great. I love that. It's so funny. But as someone who used to live in the city of Boston, you know, when you get into the city, it's totally crazy.
So it doesn't go right by where we live, but like the closest places we could drive to see it are, I'm guessing they're probably like somewhere around about halfway. So we're not quite in
Oh,
that
okay.
early part, but like if we go to Natick, sort of the downtown Natick, like, you know, decent gathering usually of people,
Okay.
cheering people on. We go to the fire station down there. It's nice.
That is nice. I feel like I can picture that fire station. I feel like it's in the background when I picture last year's Boston and what was her name who won the female wheelchair division and pulled over to like screwdriver out her fix her wheel.
Sue Scaroni.
That was amazing. And I love that. Still one of my all-time favorite post-race interviews where she won the Boston Marathon and she was like upset because she didn't get it like a time she was going for and it kind of went wrong.
No, I love that.
Well, that sounds like a nice place to watch. I lived for many years in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and I used to love watching the New York Marathon there. I lived just like 2 blocks from the route, right around, I don't know, 10 miles maybe. And I used to love just like waking up and stumbling over to Peter Pan Donuts and getting a donut and a coffee and just getting there just in time before the lead pack showed up and watching them fly up Manhattan Avenue in Greenpoint. It was pretty thrilling.
And in my sort of younger days, pre-Fortissimo, by a lot, maybe even half Fortissimo, ish. I remember like going down by like Fenway area, like
Oh yeah.
Brookline and like Com Ave and all that. And down there, it's just a party, like, because they've got all the, you know, BU and the schools, and it's just like a place where a lot of young people live, and all like a lot of the, you know, brownstones, the apartment buildings will have like a little yard in front, and there's people just out there, just like having a
Partying.
blast, partying, like watching people do this, massive physical exertion. They're just hanging out in their lawn
I
chairs,
love
just
it. That's
barbecuing.
what Brooklyn's like too. Yeah, similar vibe. You go through North Brooklyn and everybody's just partying with the race going by. And I don't remember how long Boston goes by for. New York, it just goes forever. It's
There's this one section on, so we've talked and we've covered a little bit of, and had some special guests who have run Ultra Trail Mont Blanc, the UTMB race, that goes around Mont Blanc through, like, I think it's like France, Italy, and Germany, maybe, or something. France, Italy. Anyway, so through one section of like an aid station, like in the that a lot of the like top runners run through at like the middle of the night, they end up having like this like whole like rave scene there. There's people just like with their like glow sticks, just like going nuts, like dancing, and like the runners come through like after just being in the woods, like in the
And
mountains, like having
there's
run like, you know, a ridiculous amount of time, and then all of a sudden there's just like this rave going on in the middle of it.
just European party animals listening to Paul Oakenfold.
To me, that seems a little like jarring, but I guess if you're like a professional elite runner, like you're kind of used to that, maybe.
Yeah, for me it would be fine. I think back to LA when at 22 miles or whatever it is when someone was trying to hand me beer. And I
No,
was like,
not
no.
right
I
now.
don't want beer to run. I have 4 miles to run. Or more. That was probably 21 miles. Yeah, that was very early.
We should have
If
asked special guest Katie Scheid, who won UTMB, about that. Well, maybe we'll
about the
outbound
rave.
mailbag.
Yeah, let's
Yeah, about
outbound
the rave. Like,
mailbagger.
hey, like, what'd you think about the rave?
Let's outbound mailbagger and let's see if she's going to our college's reunion this year.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little off topic, but since we're in the outbound mailbag,
yeah,
we might
by
as
the
well.
way,
Yeah.
yeah,
Hey, just wondering.
just wondering,
Since
yeah,
we did all go to the same school.
yep,
Okay, well, let's see. So what else? We don't have that much time. So if there's anything else, we should try to squeeze it in now.
I mean, we've covered so much. I feel like the listeners are gonna walk away just enlightened by this conversation.
Running out of pages in their notebook to keep writing notes on for the topics we've covered. One thing I meant to have us do this week that we didn't do was to bring back Song of the Week.
Song of the week,
Remember Song of the Week? Remember those days?
I do. I think actually we had discussed doing album of the week with Black Sky Giant, the listener mailbag, first ever album of the week.
Wow.
I did run to it actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe you can do that or just recommend a song. We'll go song of the week.
I was, last night I put on an album, and I put on the album, Who Will Cut Our Hair When We're Gone by the Unicorns
Oh,
from
nice.
2003. And I said, this was my and Trevor's favorite album during our last season of the original Power Motion Picnic Hour, the terrestrial college indie rock radio show. And I think that was true. I think I'm speaking for both of us. I think we both were pretty into that album.
Heavily into unicorns at that point.
Yeah.
Someone tried you, and here I am, but I can't stand these juggernauts.
So maybe I'll try to edit some unicorns in. So I bet you most people don't know what they sound like.
I can hear it now.
Which song you have in your head?
Right now, Jelly Bones.
Ah, that's probably the best song on the record.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right.
We'll
Well,
edit it. We'll edit it in a
we'll
bit.
edit
We'll
in some Jelly Bones, yeah.
post it on our official playlist of the popular running podcast, the Power Motion Picnic
Oh
Hour,
yeah, I've never tried.
available on Spotify.
I've never tried. And one day maybe somewhere else as well. Who knows? I've never tried running to the unicorns. It feels like that would be very funny.
Well, sometimes it's just about, getting a vibe.
I woke him up, broke the news. After everything my son said, son, you've got a full-blown case of what is known as jelly bones.
At my gym run sessions recently, I've been running to a lot more podcasts, a lot less music.
Yeah. Sometimes I have a hard time with that on the tread, but I'll do podcasts outside.
Interesting.
Actually, I did a
Well,
podcast on the tread today. It was fine.
oh yeah, well, can you name the podcast? I can't even remember what I listen to anymore.
Some work, all play. Other
Oh.
pop, other other runners.
Whoa, I didn't even.
Maybe future special guests.
All right. It's out there in the universe now. So if you're listening, hosts of whatever podcast Trevor just named that I've never heard of, reach out to our friend and yours, Dave Rawlings, and he'll book you on the show, and we'll figure out how to zoom you in. But that being said, until next time.
Onward.
Special guest,
Gingerly Jog.
This is the Power